Can I vente Pulverize for creating disturbance?
So good morning. Welcome back to the Bolros channel of Creative Disturbance. This is Yvan Tina. I'm a PhD student at the Art and Technology program of UT Dallas. And today is a special podcast because I'm talking with two alumni of the ArtSci Lab, Anvit and Shruti.
Hi, I'm Anvit, and I'm an alumni of the Art Science Lab at UT Dallas. I recently completed my master's in computer science from UT Dallas, and I've started working as a UI developer in the language of technical computing group in MathWorks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Shruti, and I previously worked as a research assistant at the Art Science Lab when I was a computer science graduate student at UT Dallas. And now I work as an application support engineer in the engineering development group at MathWorks. On a side note, for the ones who do not know what MathWorks is, MathWorks' main product is MATLAB, which is a numerical computing software widely used by engineers, researchers, and scientists.
Okay, so thank you very much, guys. So when you was here, you was working on a specific project on sonification. So how would you describe sonification for people?
Yeah, so sonification is the process of turning data into sound, and it is not just limited to digital space. For example, a stethoscope or a Geiger counter are both real-world examples of turning data into sound. And in case of stethoscope, it is the internal sounds of human body. And for Geiger counter, it's the ionization radiation sound. Using these two as examples, the usefulness of sonification becomes very apparent. Often it is easier and faster to interpret data by hearing data rather than visualizing it. Thus, it can prove very useful for scientists if a useful sonification is created for their data and the correlation between the sound and the data is well understood. Also, creating sonifications and understanding how they correlate to a certain kind of data makes an interesting topic for research. Besides scientists and researchers, artists and musicians have been using sonifications in their performances for a very long time, with artists like Trimpin creating a chime instrument which plays earthquake data, to many YouTubers who have created a Pi song using the digits of the number Pi. The Art Science Lab at the University of Texas at Dallas focuses on both, that is the artistic as well as the scientific aspects of sonification in their research.
So, I think this falls into the whole discussion about multimodality, which is basically the idea of giving different representation to the same data. So do you have any other research project that you work on while at?
You're right, Ivan. It does tie into the whole multimodal representation. Mm-hmm. And while here at UT Dallas, we work with Dr. Roger Molina in the Art Science Lab, and one of the research projects is the sonification project, where we collaborated with Dr. Scott Grisham Lancaster, a professor of sound design at UT Dallas, Tim Perkis, who's also one of the voices on Creative Disturbance, and with Dr. Gagan Vig, who is a professor at the School of Brain and Behavioral Sciences at UT Dallas. So Dr. Gagan's lab is basically researching brain systems and how it changes across a healthy adult lifespan. So the data that he's working on consists of information about nodes, which are essentially highly connected areas of the brain, and their connection with other nodes in the brain. And together, we as a team focus on visualizing and sonifying this data.
Uh-huh.
We've been developing three different sonification projects, which explore different ways of sonifying and visualizing the brain data. And they're called Connectome, Stetho, and Scatter.
Could you tell me more about those projects?
Yeah, sure. So before describing the projects, let me just talk more about our data sets, which were provided to us by Dr. Gagan's lab. Our data sets contain fMRI data, which has nodes which represent the highly connected areas of the brain, which belong to various systems like the auditory, visual, and so on. And also has information about the connections between these nodes, which can either be intersystem or intrasystem. So coming to the first project, the Connectome project, in this, the fMRI data is plotted in 3D space, and the user has the ability to zoom, rotate, and pan the view to visualize the connections among various nodes. The user also has choice between two sonifications. The first one being the user can just pick a node and Connectome will sonify all the connections of that particular node. And in the second one, Connectome can sonify all the connections for the entire system at once.
Okay, so I remember a few images that you were working on here in the lab. Today I'm unable to distinguish between the two. There were this thing which was really colored, like with different network into a circle, if I remember exactly.
Right.
To which part of the brain, like the visual, was connected to the auditory, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So this was the Connectome one.
Right. Yes. So that's the Connectome one.
So fMRI actually, what does it mean?
So fMRI is short for functional MRI. So it's a way of mapping brain, the brain and all the connections that go on within the brain.
Okay. What about the stethoscope project actually?
All right. So moving on to the second one, which is the Stetho project, like we call it.
Mm-hmm.
So the focus of the Stetho project is the comparison between different brain systems as a whole and the comparison between different fMRI data sets. And we represent all of these data sets as 2D chord diagrams. So we draw two different chord diagrams and the user can choose which data set they want to show in any of these chord diagrams. That way they can compare and contrast them. So the brain systems are represented along the circumference of the circle in a chord diagram, and the connections between them are represented as chords. The user also has a choice between five different sonifications, namely chord, dying clank, exclamation, écureuil, and melody.
It was écureuil, excuse me. Écureuil, which in English means crow.
Right. I'm sorry for my bad French pronunciation. So these sonifications can be triggered simply by hovering the mouse over any of these systems.
Okay, so can you also please unpack this idea of stethoscope, because I think it came from a metaphor that you can hear, as the doctor can hear what's going inside your body, you can also hear what's going inside the brain or something like that.
Right. Yeah, so like you said, that's exactly where this idea came for. So just as how a doctor basically holds a stethoscope over different areas to hear how that particular region sounds. Similarly, the user here just moves his mouse around and points it on different locations in the chord diagram, and accordingly it will sonify those locations.
Okay. So the third one, which is the scatter plot.
Right. So for the third one, that is the scatter plot, the focus was on how this fMRI data changes over time. So the mean data values across different age groups are plotted as a 2D scatter plot. And for sonification, there is a bar that moves from the left side of this scatter plot to the right side of this plot. And as it moves, whenever it hits any of these data points, it generates a sound. So a different musical instrument can be assigned to each of all the systems in these data sets, and these values are sonified according to their magnitude. Also, the users can provide their own data sets, and the scatter will basically plot them and sonify them as well.
So this is probably the one that I understood the less, because can you actually say to what correspond the movement of the line along the graph? What does it mean actually?
So you have a graph, and then you have like various data points on it, and then there's a bar which moves, and whenever the bar hits one of the data points, a sound would be triggered.
Okay.
So for different data points belonging to different systems, we have different instruments. So at once, you can, if the bar were to collide with different data points belonging to different systems, you would hear different musical instruments playing at once.
Oh, okay. It would make a kind of melody or kind of composition.
Yeah, maybe
yeah,
you can
I
call
mean,
it. Yeah, it is melodious sometimes.
Can you? I mean, okay, but coming to the technical aspect of this project, can I know what all technologies are used to build this project?
Sure. So a multitude of technologies are involved here. I'll start off by describing the sound-related technologies that were involved. So all of these are basically all of our projects are web-based. So pretty much all of our libraries were JavaScript-based. So mm-hmm. the first one I'd be describing is called MIDI.js, which is a library that brings MIDI, which is a musical instrument digital interface, which pretty much anyone who has done anything in sound would be knowing about. So it brings MIDI functionality to JavaScript, and it allows us to generate and play notes on the fly using sound fonts. So mm-hmm. one major issue we had with this library was that in order to play a sequence of notes, you can either fetch the sound font beforehand or load the notes as you go. So either of these approaches isn't great, because when you fetch all the files beforehand, the web page load time goes up significantly. And if you choose to choose the load as you go approach, there will be some lag before a note that hasn't played before plays. So, I mean, it's not ideal when you're working with data and there's lag before each note. So
okay.
We moved on to two other approaches for sound. So the first approach that we moved on to is called Coffee Collider, which is an advanced audio programming language for the web. And it's based upon the immensely powerful SuperCollider programming language. It uses, basically Coffee Collider uses CoffeeScript for its syntax, but basically SuperCollider veterans would find this syntax very familiar. It has a full-blown real-time audio synthesis engine complete with various kinds of unit generators and filters. Also, since Coffee Collider is built for the web, it's automatically cross-platform. The only major disadvantage of Coffee Collider is its lack of documentation, and it's very difficult for someone who's new to Coffee Collider to immediately pick it up, and unless they have prior knowledge of Super Collider.
It seems to me that it would be difficult to anyone who has no background in computer science and what you've been doing to really understand how it works, probably, because I've been seeing you guys playing with that all the years, but I'm not sure that I really get what you was doing. But
I think if you have like little programming background and a keen interest on learning these JavaScript libraries, it shouldn't be that difficult to get a hang of all of this, because this is something that won't be taught in classes or universities. It's something you need to learn it by yourself.
Oh, okay. So there were MIDI.js, Collider, and whatever.
And the other one is the Timbre.js. It's another JavaScript audio synthesis library, and it's in fact written by the same author as that of the Coffee Collider. Its main goal is to be the next generation of audio processing library for the web. It is quite powerful, and the best feature is it's well documented. And in addition to the common sound synthesis function and filters, it also has few extra objects which expand its functionality. For example, the sound font object can be used to play MIDI notes using the loaded sound fonts, or the keyboard and mouse objects can detect their events and can be used to play or shape a certain sound. So coming to the non-sound related JavaScript libraries we used were one of them being the Create.js. It's a JavaScript-based game engine which is used for plotting the points on canvas. We used it for the scatter project since we found the collision detection function to be very useful for triggering sound events whenever collisions took place. And we also used the DAT GUI, which is a lightweight GUI, and GUI is graphical user interface that can be used to create menus on a web page, which can be used to interactively modify user settings and options. And 3.js is another cross-browser JavaScript library and API, which is used to create and display animated 3D computer graphics on a web browser. It uses the WebGL, and we used it for the Connectome project to render the nodes and the connections in 3D space. Lastly, we use the D3.js, which is pretty famous. And D3 is data-driven documents JavaScript library, which is used for producing dynamic, interactive data visualizations in web browsers. We used it for the stethoscope project to plot the chord diagrams. And yeah, that's about it. So these are the major technologies we used behind our project.
It seems like most of them, you need JavaScript to run most of them, huh?
Yeah. Actually, all of them are JavaScript libraries because basically every browser out there supports JavaScript, and we wanted something uniform so that, you know, you don't really have to install something different on your system and it just works on every system, new or old.
Two maybe final comment question would be, would the sound be different if you was using, for example, JavaScript as opposed to CoffeeScript?
So CoffeeScript is a relatively new sort of technology which compiles to JavaScript. You don't really, that happens in the background. You don't really need to worry about that. So essentially, you can, as far as the user is concerned, he never gets to deal with CoffeeScript.
So, and the other one is maybe more tricky. I'm not sure if I should ask you, Scott, the relationship between sound and visual. So, because basically what you're doing here is that the first translation process is from the data, some kind of visualization model. I think my question is just simply about the relationship between visual and between image and sound, and what have you been learning from this whole process in terms of either visualization or sonification?
So the way I think about it is both of them have to complement each other. Sonification without the basically, visualization can exist without the sonification part, but visualization when it comes along with sonification, it sort of gives you an additional, like you said, multimodal representation. So it's an added way to gain more information about what you're seeing. So essentially, when I'm, for example, let's talk about the third project we had, which is a scatterplot. Essentially, you already see the graph there. You already see the data, and you can visually see that there is difference between all these data points. But the difference becomes more apparent when you hear these nodes being sonified. So maybe it's not as easy to grasp the difference between, like, grasp the distance between these points when you see them as when you hear them.
And this is particularly useful when there are, like, outliers in your data set. It becomes pretty evident when you actually hear the data set than when you see it.
Okay. So, and is all those, is this experience useful for you today at MATLAB?
I would say not specifically for MATLAB, but in general, my job here is of a UI developer, and I've learned a lot as a web developer working with all these technologies. Like, I've become a better developer myself by, you know, working with all of this stuff which doesn't have all that great documentation, which I had to learn by myself. So, yeah, I would definitely say that it has helped me a lot.
What about you, Shruti?
So, I most of my grad school, I just passed it with using C, C++, Java, and JavaScript, but I've not used these particular libraries, Coffee Collider and DatGUI and 3JS, CreateJS. So it was like exploring a bunch of new technologies for me. So I think it has kind of prepared me in the long run where I can just pick up any technology and start working. And it has given me that confidence.
Okay, so it was nice talking to you guys. I hope you're doing great in Boston.
Yep, I'm enjoying.
we hope to hear you soon again on Creative Disturbance one day.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you.
Bye.
Vinte Pulveros for Creative Disturbance.